to just now comes to us from the fourth chapter of Mark. Starts at verse 35, goes through verse 41. It can be found on page 839 in your pew Bible. And if you wouldn't mind turning to that right now so that you can follow along as I read, please, if you would, rise for its reading. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep, on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" You may be seated. Well, I'm not the first to use this analogy of weather with our lives, but I'm going to be using that throughout this. Even though we just read a story of you know, the real life weather, real rain, real waves, real wind, we compare that to our lives a lot, talking about, you know, storms in our life, you know, and we think of it lots of times in terms of weather, you know, just a sunny outlook on life, right? You know anybody whose life seems to be, I mean, if you put it geographically, they live in Southern California all the time. Their life is just sunshine. Everything is good. It's always everything's just right with the world all the time. You look at them and nothing seems to ever go wrong in their lives. And you look with kind of, you know, covetousness on everything that happens in their life and you're like, "Why can't my life go like that?" My life seems to be more like, if you put it in a geographical location, it'd be more like Omaha, Nebraska, right? You'll see why I brought that up in a second. Omaha, you know, it rains like every 4 hours there. There's always something, there's always some sort of storm. You know how I know that? Because Arkansas happens to be in the College World Series. That's taking place in Omaha, Nebraska. And we are in the finals, by the way. But it's been postponed time after time after time because of all the rain that they get. I had no idea they got so much rain. But that's, you know, so somebody would say, "My life is like living in Omaha, Nebraska. There's storm after storm. I get over one storm and here comes another one. Little bit of sunshine and another storm," right? So we're probably, honestly, most of us are somewhere in between Southern California and Omaha, Nebraska. That would put us in Las Vegas or someplace, I guess. Right? Well, we use this analogy all the time, weather, you know, with our lives, okay? It's not unusual that we would say, you know, "I'm really going through a stormy time right now in my life." That's quite common, okay? Now, the reason that we go through storms is very simple. It's called sin. And not necessarily the sin that we do, okay? And oftentimes when we use the word sin, we think of, you know, what we do. It's not like that. Sin is more than that. It's pervasive. It's like a disease that has affected the whole creation, you see. And we sin, we do sinful things because we are sinners. We have been affected by sin. So we do sinful things. We don't become sinners because we have done something sinful. We are sinners, and so we sin. But I want to talk about the simple fact that there's sin in the world is the reason that we have storms. And that's both literal and spiritual right there. You know that we wouldn't have rain if it wasn't for sin. How many knew that? A couple. Yeah. The way God created the earth is that there was just a moisture that kind of, you know, oozed from the earth. And it wasn't until Noah that rain poured down, and from then on our cycle was completely different. Sin caused the first storm, right? And it causes storm in our lives, causes storms in our life too. Whether it's just the sin that is, or whether it's your own sin that caused the storm. How many of you have caused a storm in your life because of something you did? Okay, yeah. Those of you who didn't raise your hand are either not listening or you're liars. Then there are storms that happen because other people, you know, in our lives sin against us. And that causes storms. So the point is, it's sin, whether it comes from just being in this world of sin, or whether it's our sin complicating our own lives, or somebody else has invaded our life with their sin, and now it's complicating our lives. Storms come from sin. But its cause is not as important. Learning its cause is not as important as learning how to react to it. What is your reaction to the storms in your life? When they happen, what do you do? Well, we see what the disciples did. There was a storm and they got afraid. They were worried, anxious, panicking. Anybody go through storms and that's one of their reactions? Worry, anxiety, panic, yes. Sometimes we get angry that God would allow these things, these storms, to come upon us. Sometimes, you know, we want to abandon ship. You know, our relationships get stormy where, you know, sin invades, it complicates our lives. And instead of learning what we need to learn to forgive, renew, restore, we abandon ship. Sometimes we repress it and pretend like it's not happening. When, you know, I tell you about my parents being Christian, they were always nominal Christians in name, but they were not always practicing, trusting, really believing Christians until I was probably about six. Their life changed, and they, you know, their lives, their Christianity changed, their lives changed, and they became faithful Christians by the work of God and the Holy Spirit in their lives. But prior to that, they fought a lot, and I've told you stories about how fiery my mama is. Okay. She could yell and she could throw things. I remember we were at the supper table one day and my sister Stephanie had an argument with her earlier in the day, and so we were eating supper and Stephanie said to my mom, "When you're through digging in the butter, would you mind passing it to me?" She passed the butter all right. She's not a bad arm on my mom. But she could throw things, man, and she could yell, and, you know, that's the way their fights were. And they were scary to a 3-4-year-old. And I remember those. Then Fast forward 20 years later, we're 22, 23. Kimberly and I got married at 22. When we would have fights, disagreements, I just wanted to repress it. I just wanted to, I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to, go to bed. I remember actually getting physically sleepy when we would start arguing. I would literally feel it in my body, I want to go to sleep. And so I would just go lay down. I'm not going to have a fight. I'm just going to go lay down. One time she said, look, you can't do this. Every time we have a disagreement, you want to go to sleep. Why do you do that? Well, I was working, in psychology. I was in graduate school to be a psychologist. And he asked me a question like that. I'm like, why do I do that? So I started thinking about it. I started researching it, thinking about in my past. Why? And I knew maybe it had something to do with, when I was a kid. I called my sister Bobby. I have two sisters, Bobby and Stephanie. And so I called my sister Bobby and I said, will you tell me something? When I was little and Mom and Dad used to fight, how did I react? And she said, we used to come into our bedroom, and they had a queen bed that they shared. And she said, you used to crawl in between us, and we would cover your ears with pillows so that you couldn't hear. And I said, I wonder if there's a link. Of course there was. Of course there was. And you see, I was 22 years old, and I was responding like I was three. See, something that functioned for me at 3 and 4 and maybe even 5 years old had become dysfunctional for me at 22. And so I was repressing. I was just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with it. This, my life is stormy. Leave me alone. I'm going to be a three-year-old now, and I'm not going to pay attention. La, na, 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 na. That's basically it. How many have the guts to raise their hand and say, yeah, I've been there? That's not how God wants us to do it. None of these reactions, none of the way the disciples reacted with fear and panic, repression, anger. God wants us to understand that He is in control of all things, even the storms in our life. And if He's in control of the storms, then that must mean that He wants us to undergo it. And if He's in control and He loves us, and He wants us to undergo this storm, if you put those together, it means He wants us to undergo this storm because He loves us. Hard to imagine, but it's true. It's through the storms that we learn to trust in the Lord. It's how we exercise that new creation that He's formed in us. And so He gives us this new creation born in us through the power of the Word, the Holy Spirit working in the Word, giving us faith and trust in Him. And then He says, hey, I'm going to give you a little storm. He doesn't create the sin. He doesn't do the sin. It's out there. He just lets it affect us. Could He stop it from affecting us? Yeah, He could. But He wants us to trust in Him. And so He uses everything. What does the scripture say? All things work together for the good. Even sin. God uses our sin to strengthen us in the faith. We don't give Him much else to work with, to be honest. He uses that to strengthen us in the faith, so that we begin to know who He is and trust in Him. One of my favorite stories came years ago. I was reading Reader's Digest. Remember that? Anybody get that one? Are they still in print? Okay. I never got a clear answer when in first service. Reader's Digest. There's a section there that where people can send in their own stories about, oh, Junior did this and so-and-so did that. And so I was reading it, and it was a story about this couple with a little girl. And I guess they lived in Omaha, Nebraska or something, because there was a terrible thunderstorm. And they had a little girl who, you know, was that age where they're really, really cute and can talk, you know, you know, haven't gotten to that, you know, other stage yet. So she's upstairs, and the parents are downstairs. She's been tucked in and everything, and it's nighttime. And the storm's going on, and the lightning just cracks so loudly that the parents get concerned that maybe, you know, their daughter might be scared. They go upstairs, and they peek in the door, and their daughter is standing up on the windowsill with her face plastered on the glass. And the dad rushes over and he grabs the daughter. He's like, honey, what are you doing? And she said, I think God's trying to take my picture. Now that's the attitude we all ought to start with when there's a storm going on, that God desperately loves us. And whatever storm is going on in our lives, he wants to use it to strengthen us in the faith so that we believe in him and who he sent. That's why Jesus' response to his disciples when they're panicking is, do you still not believe after what you've seen? You know, it's interesting. We've hit a place in our readings now, in our lectionary, where the next few weeks are going to be about storm after storm after storm. And one of the, you know, more famous ones is the one where there's a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walks on water. Remember that story? And Jesus is there coming towards the boat, and I don't want to, you know, I'm probably going to preach on this later, but y'all won't remember anyway. So he's walking on water, and Peter sees him and says, is it you? He says, I am. And so Peter jumps out and starts walking on water. And then the wave comes, and now he sees the wave and the doubt and all of that, and he starts to sink. And I always thought, why is he looking at the waves? You know what I would be doing? I would be like, I'm walking on water. Look at me, Jesus. Look at this. I'm walking on water. And see, I've come 20 feet. Do you see that? No, he saw the future, the wave that might take him out. Instead of everything that God had just done for him, like supporting him on the water the last 20 feet, look behind you. How many times has God brought you through storm after storm after storm? How much water have you walked on? And I got to write that down. That's my title for that sermon. How much water have you walked on that God has brought you through? Look at it. Look back at your life. That's what's called thanksgiving. And you say, look at what God has done for us. Look at all that he's brought us through. And as you're going through these storms in your life, don't forget to just shoot it through with thanksgiving when you pray to him. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for making me walk on water all these times. Thank you for bringing me through storm after storm. Knowing that he loves you and that he only allows storms in your life to strengthen you in the faith, to bring you closer to him, to bring you closer to the others in your life, because God wants you to learn love and forgiveness. That's what Christianity is. It's to understand the love of God that he would forgive all of your sins. and then turn you into a person who does the same for everybody in his life. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, and not forgive your brother. Husbands, you can't say you're a Christian and not forgive your wives. And wives, you can't say you're a Christian and not forgive your husbands. That's why I tell people in counseling, you know, your salvation is tied up in this thing. That doesn't mean that everybody that gets divorced is going to hell, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. They happen at the same time. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, And God uses people's sin against us to teach us the very thing that makes him who he is. Love. Forgiveness. And so he allows things to happen in our lives so that we learn to be precisely that. And he uses the Holy Spirit to mold us into being like Christ. So that we love the people that God surrounds us with and we forgive them. And this congregation is brought together for that specific reason, so that we reach out to one another and love and forgive one another. You know what we do? And this is one of my goals for you guys. We keep at arm's length so that we don't ever complicate anybody else's life. We even sit 10 feet apart. God wants us to interact and to, complicate each other's lives from time to time so that we can learn to love and forgive, because he uses storms. He uses storms to strengthen our faith, to bring us closer to him. What can life's storms do to you? They can strengthen your faith. The Holy Spirit will use it to strengthen your faith. It can't hurt you. The scriptures tell us very plainly, if God is for us, who can be against us? Look, I'm not telling you everything's going to end up rosy when you're in a storm, that it's all going to come out the way you want it to. We live in a sinful world, and bad things happen. People die. And there's one storm you're going to go through in your life that you're not going to come out of on this side. You are going to die. It happens. Some of you know Tom Leung, a member here, got cancer. I was praying with him on a regular basis that he would be cured. He believed that God was going to cure him, and I believed it too, in my head. Real faith. There's only one object of real faith, and that's God. I hoped that it was true that he would be healed, and I prayed for it. We prayed diligently for it, and it didn't happen. And when we knew it wasn't going to happen, I told him, you know, we're not the only people that went through this. Jesus prayed before he suffered that God would remove, you know, this cup from him, to find another way. And God said no. The Father said no. We're not the only ones who've been denied what we prayed for. But we know there's always a purpose and a plan, and God always makes it work out for the good. And so there's a reason. We don't understand it. We don't know it. I have no answer for why some people die. when we pray that they be healed. I don't know why babies can die. I don't understand it. I've got no answer for it. Bad things happen, and we go through horrible storms sometimes, really, really horrible storms sometimes. And I don't know the answer why, but I do know this, that God never stops loving us, and he never stops using even the storms in our life to strengthen us, to bring us closer to him, to bring us closer to one another. And yeah, we need to complicate other people's lives every now and then. That's what a church is. So that we forget, learn to forgive one another. And you can't forgive one another unless you're confessing to one another. And you can't confess to one another unless you have a relationship with one another. And so my prayer is going to be that God bring us together and that we have a congregation that cares for one another. And that's what's going to set us apart. And if we grow, it's going to be because people want to be a part of that. God loves us desperately. And even the storms in our life are used to strengthen us in the faith, to bring us closer to him, to bring us closer to one another. What can storms in this life do to me? And they can't hurt me. All they can do is strengthen me, make me more of what God wants me to be. Amen.